We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Thanks for calling Toyota. This is Jan.
I just adopted a new best friend, and I'm looking for a Toyota so we can make the most out of summer.
With a new RAV4, you can take your pup for a drive up the coast. You can take a Prius to the park, or you can take a Tundra to kayak at a remote lake.
One problem, Jan.
Oh?
My new best friend's a cat.
Your summer starts here, but it all ends June 3rd. Toyota, let's go places. Dealer inventory may vary, see your participating Toyota dealer for details.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
Welcome into the DNVR Rockies podcast brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook. Now when you use promo code DNVR, make your first deposit, you'll get a risk-free bet of up to $1,000. And that's with promo code DNVR only at DraftKings Sportsbook. I am Patrick Lyons.
I am Susie Hunter. And Patrick, I feel like you are the most hype about the show today because we have so many great draft guys who were drafted. I look at me doing words for a living. COVID brain. Picks. There it is. Hi.
Selections.
Let's start over.
It is.
Susie Hunter.
Oh, hey, welcome, Susie. Yeah, we've got a cornucopia of things to talk about. It's strange because there's no Rockies game. Obviously, here we are in the All-Star break, and yet we had ourselves a fun little event that we'll talk about here. Later on in the show, a DNVR activity that was a lot of fun. We've got the first day of the draft. That's right. We have the first day of the draft from Sunday. Monday, we had about eight more picks. Got to catch up with Danny Montgomery and Mark Gustafson from the Rockies and scouting department. So we'll report on those guys. And yeah, we will, at the end of the show, preview the Home Run Derby. And I'm very confident that at least one of us is correct. And since Susie and I have different picks, one of us will be correct.
Yes. I think our odds are good. I think we know what we're talking about.
I think we do too. And I hope at least that the Rockies know what they were doing with their first selection here yesterday. We talked about it live as it happened. Gabriel Hughes, intriguing upside, a guy who has, you know, taken some comparisons to a guy like John Gray, but he was somebody that on a lot of other folks' draft boards, you know, we thought was maybe going to go a little bit later on, might have even been available to the Rockies at 31. And so there was some thinking that perhaps the Rockies in selecting Hughes would have done so to give him some underslot dollars. So then they save some money and use it later on in the draft. That remains to be seen if that'll happen. They didn't select any high schoolers with that major upside, a guy like a Brock Porter, which was a lot of the speculation on Sunday night. Had a really good time with the guys over at Blake Street Banner on a Twitter Spaces for about 2 hours. We were watching the draft and all the picks, commenting, going back and forth. So to Aaron Taylor, Justin Wick, Evan Lang, like all those guys, that was a lot of fun speculating about who's going to go what. I don't know if that's going to come out as a podcast or anything. That was just a really cool hang, and it was cool digging into some more of the numbers on Gabriel Hughes and learning about what the Rockies liked about him. Susie, did you know he's actually the first draft pick? And I have a spreadsheet about this. This is why I know. This is why I know. Of the nearly 1,400 picks, at least going into this year's draft, not a one of them was born in Alaska. The Rockies have an Alaskan ball player, at least born in Alaska.
Gabriel Hughes. I can't imagine there are a lot of Major League Baseball players who were born in Alaska, because what is your season like? How I feel like the baseball season must be like 2 weeks long.
Yeah, not wasn't raised there, but he was born there, which is still something. I think that's still pretty neat. The guy who went next, Sterling Thompson, we'll talk about him in a moment. He was born in Longmont. He's not a Colorado kid because he was more like an infant when his family moved to Florida before the age of one. So he's not a true Colorado kid, but you know what? Hey, we can kind of, you know, we can stretch the truth a little bit, right, for a good story.
Yeah, yeah. This is his homecoming, hopefully.
It is. One of the things that was mentioned on one of the two conference calls we had with the Rockies front office was that with Hughes, you know, he is a player that we might not even see necessarily in 2022. He threw a decent amount of innings. I think 98 was his total, but it was kind of how he was used. And so they're going to assess some things and, you know, might not get any proper minor league innings pitch. Maybe he'll pitch a little bit more in the instructional league once the real season's over. But there was one outing that Danny Montgomery mentioned that late in the season, real bulldog type attitude. He got the ball. It was an amazing performance and he threw 139 pitches. So,
oh my gosh,
that's college baseball.
Yeah, yeah, that is just not something we ever see in the majors anymore. So when I hear that number, I'm just shocked.
I think he had thrown 110, and it was like, okay, that was the end. Really good outing, and then he goes back out. So like that alone, imagine that. I said this guy threw 110 pitches in a game at Gonzaga. I think it was against San Diego State. You'd be like, all right, I mean, you don't really see that much, but that might mean something. It might mean something. And then to know like, oh yeah, then he went back out and threw 29 more pitches the next inning. Could be criminal. That might be criminal to set a guy up like that.
Patrick, do you think you threw more or less than 139 pitches today?
I was doing the math on that. I threw more than 139 pitches. Yeah.
How's your arm doing?
Well, considering it was wiffle balls, it was good. I probably threw about 200. I'm feeling something that I don't know if it will become something tomorrow morning. I'll have an idea, but being the official batting practice pitcher in the Home Run Derby, we warmed up. I think it might have been before you got there. I was playing catch with Adam with a hard ball and a mitt, so I think that helped get it loosened up. So it was just
you over, had a bullpen
over the top.
Session.
It was super easy. I had myself a wonderful little BP sesh there. Which was pretty good. Couple guys that the Rockies took today. Let's talk about those gents. Really heavy on the college player. Only one high school player taken through the 10th round in their 12 picks. That was Jackson Cox out of
bless you.
High school.
Jackson Cox. All right. So he's out of Washington.
Yeah, it was a rainy season up there, so he could be one of those guys under the radar. Anytime I hear about a player who had some of his spring season curtailed a little bit, it makes me think of Mike Trout, because that absolutely was the case. South Jersey, teams didn't get a chance to see him that much, but from what the Rockies were able to see from Jackson Cox, he's got that really plus curveball, really high spin rate, which is nice. Weakness side, you know, he's not quite as physical. I'm not going to say lacks size, but, you know, he's someone that, according to the Rockies, you know, doesn't have too much of an ounce of fat on him to spare. So he's a bulldog. Actually, one of the things Danny Montgomery said was that he is very intense. Like he was trying to, during one of the workouts, try to, you know, get him a little bit looser, try to crack him up, and he wouldn't do it. Like he was just very serious and very focused. And so I thought that was pretty interesting to see. But on day two, they go heavy on the college players. Third round, Carson Palmquist, a lefty out of Miami. Some comparisons to Chris Sale, because he has that sort of three-quarter arm slot, which is pretty interesting. Also, I've heard some Kyle Freeland type vibes. Not sure if he'll end up being a starter or reliever. Of course, they're going to give him the shot to start first. Kind of could be similar to the Sam Weatherly situation back in 2020. We'll wait and see what happens to him. Michael Prosecchi out of Louisville, kind of in a similar situation as far as that's concerned. Susie, I don't know if there were any names. We'll get to some interesting names.
Yeah, yeah.
On. but did you have a favorite name as far as Colin Kafka was the big name last year? That's like, that's a very curious name. It's taking names from, well, the nonfiction world, right? The author Franz Kafka. And then also Colin from the Twilight series, right?
Okay. Yeah.
I know a little thing or two about a thing or two. So okay. Did you have your favorite name so far from the 12 players the Rockies have taken on the first 2 days of the draft?
Okay, yeah, because we all know I love to pick out the most interesting names. I love the name Prosecco because it sounds like a nickname that I would use for Prosecco. Like, hey, girls, you want some Prosecco? So, like, I love that name. Another guy the Rockies have drafted today, Brad Cumbest. I feel like that name has gotten a lot of attention on Twitter today. I think
he's
it's something. It is something.
He's a big dude. 6'6". He was a tight end with Mississippi State. Has a lot of power. Could possibly even play center field. So Rocky's drafting a lot of athletic guys that are definitely interesting. We could say that. I do like the name Sterling. I mean, yeah. I like the name Sterling better. But Sterling Thompson, the more I kind of dig in on this guy, he went 31st with the compensation pick that the Rockies got for Trevor Story. I'm getting more DJ LeMahieu type of vibes on this guy.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Now, why is that?
He's a little lankier. Like, he's 6'4". Mm-hmm. Has a little bit of power, but more of a doubles guy, right? Again, you know, that might end up translating home runs as he gets older. Played second base and right field at the University of Florida. But, you know, he wants to be an infielder. He wants to be on the dirt. I think maybe having something to do with the fact he was born in Longmont, he kind of grew up adoring Troy Tulowitzki. So he's got that, you know, middle infielder type vibe to him. Really a shortstop when he went into the University of Florida. So played a little bit of third base. Bill Schmidt said he kept saying he's a corner guy. So not sure if that means third base and right field, third base, first base. I think third base might be where we see him. He should probably go to Fresno to start the season rather than the complex league. So that'll be really exciting to see him. And then Jordan Beck, a guy we tweeted it out on our account at @DNVR_Rockies. Swagger for days. Susie, have you seen any of those videos from Jordan Beck? I mean, his hairstyle, he's got the mustache, yeah. He's got the big shades. He kind of just looks like he could be Zach Veen's twin. There's also that piece. But did you see some of the swaggerific videos of Jordan Beck from this past year?
Yes. I mean, yeah, he's got the flow. Now that you mentioned the Zach Veen comparison, I absolutely see it for sure. But yeah, what do you think of this pick, Patrick?
I like it. I do like it. I think, and you know, we talked about this with Blake Street Banner, you know, the idea of drafting the best player available is really good concept. And also selecting a guy under slot where maybe you reach and it allows you to get creative later on. Not sure that I saw that kind of creativity overall from the Rockies in this draft, but if you just look at their first three picks, you can say, well, you know what? They got three top 25, top 30 players. Now they did that with, you know, three of the top 38 picks. So it's kind of par for the course. So no one that really jumps out as being that Zach Veen guy. Cam Collier, when we were live yesterday, he was available. He was available for the Rockies to take there. Bum that didn't happen. But Jordan Beck is an interesting dude. As we said, he's got that swagger. Once, while rounding first base, on his way to second in a double, just straight up was giving the middle finger to the other outfield. Like, that whole team was really that sassy. And Danny Montgomery said today, he's like, that was the first question straight up that Bill Schmidt had, was like, okay, what went down? What was going on with that? And they are very confident that, you know, he's got a really good makeup and that's not him, that he's not going to be one of those guys where, if you can remember when Bryce Harper was drafted by the Nationals, it was like immediately every week there was a new thing about someone was throwing at him and he was doing backflips back when no one did backflips. Mm-hmm. Bat flips or backflips. Yeah. Still no one does backflips. That's the next thing. We need, forget bat flips. How about backflips when you hit a home run? I file that
we,
one away.
We got someone in the farm system who can do that.
Oh, that's true. That's Hunter Goodman, right?
We got one guy.
Hunter can do it. He's a big body dude. So That I do like that pick of Jordan Beck. It'll be interesting. Again, seems like there might be a glut of outfielders right now in the Rockies farm system, but that thing ultimately is going to sort itself out. So it certainly isn't the be-all end-all with that. You also had Ryan Ritter, really great on the defensive front, needs to hit, but Montgomery thinks, quote-unquote, we may have something. He did frame and say it could be a bottom-of-the-order type guy, but he's a more of a defensive first shortstop that came out of, I think he's from Kentucky, and the body comp, Ian Desmond. So that's a pretty good compliment there overall. So I think that pretty much wraps it up. We also had, who was it? Zach Agnos, who's taking 10th out of East Carolina. He closed for them, was a two-way player. Does sound like he's going to end up being a relief pitcher with the Rockies. Davis Palermo out of University of North Carolina went in the eighth round. Cody Huff, a catcher from Stanford. Connor Stain out of Central Florida, right-handed college pitcher. That wraps up all 12 picks that the Rockies have made here in the last 2 days. So overall, actually, I feel good. I mean, I was going to feel good regardless, right? Because you got some fresh blood in the system. You got some hope. You got some promise. And so we'll see what happens in the next couple weeks and months as these guys start, you know, going out, putting up some numbers in the Arizona Fall League, or excuse me, Arizona Complex League. Mm-hmm. Some of them going to Fresno. Some of them maybe by the end of the season, even going up to Spokane, which it would really be like an aggressive move to say, you know what, this guy doesn't need to learn that much. Let's kind of move him through. So we'll just kind of have to wait and see on that. But I'm excited.
Yeah, for sure. Now, is it a coincidence? Is this a strategy move that the Rockies took so many guys out of college rather than taking more high schoolers?
I think so. I think that's a good point. I mean, it is something typically I think that the Rockies have done a lot more once you got into those middle parts of the draft. Like, again, first three rounds, you got an opportunity to hit a home run and maybe you take a chance on a high school guy. But the college guys, they're a little bit more polished, right? There's less work to do. There's going to be less variability, right? Instead of, you know, an 18-year-old kid riding buses or being a professional around a bunch of other guys, you already have players who are 20, 21. They've already been doing it for a couple years. So maybe they've gotten those things out of their system. It's not as pressure packed, right? Because they're at university. Their payment, so to speak, is their scholarship. Whereas now, hey, there's people checking in on them. You know, they're signed for a couple $100,000, if not a couple $1 million. And that can be a difficult road ahead. So it's a more of a sure bet, so to speak, with the college players and less variability. But hey, when you take that risk and you draft a young 18-year-old, 19-year-old out of high school, you can get, you know, a lot of reward out of that. I mean, we saw what happened with Nolan Arenado there and Trevor Story. So we'll kind of wait and see. Look, this is the fun of looking at prospects. Look, I forget who says this, but I've heard this a couple of times at the ballpark. They all seem like prospects, but most of them are just suspects.
Oh.
Right. All the guys you go, oh yeah, this guy's going to be great. And then even if they have that cup of coffee, they're just suspect. Right. So it's fun though. It's definitely fun.
Interesting. What a saying. You've given me a lot to think about, Patrick.
Yeah. I can't wait for us to have some fun here in just a couple weeks. Once the DNVR bar is back up and running.
There we go.
Halifax, New York. Oh my God. The work that they are putting into this place, like these guys want to get it open. Like that's the other thing too, is not to break the fourth wall here too much, but it's like, you know, we don't run the bar entirely, right? So it's not like, you know, Susie's swinging a hammer and I'm putting up drywall and doing all that stuff. Like, it's the business side to it. And so we all want to get this thing up and running by football season. So it's going to happen. I feel really good about that there on the corner of Colfax, New York. And while we wait for that to go down, you still can get all the great articles on Nuggets, Avs, Broncos, Rockies, Rapids, Rams, CU Buffs, Big Drive Energy, rugby, name it. It's only 50 cents for your first month to the dnvr.com. And if you're ready to go all in on a yearly membership, you actually will get yourself a free shirt from dnvrlocker.com. You can get some other really great shirts and swag and some cool memorabilia from FOCO, FOCO.com. You can click the link below in the YouTube description. For all non-presale items, use promo code DNVR for 10% off. That includes the throwback 1996 Joe Sakic Stanley Cup celebration bobblehead. That includes some of the Rockies City Connect bobbleheads that look really cool. I have never seen a bobblehead that like has that much green on it. It's a unique thing. I mean, imagine the A's have a couple giveaways where that's the case, but it just really looks sharp. It stands out on a shelf. It's really cool. Again, that's foco.com. Use DNVR as your code for 10% off. And then get $10 off your first 3 months with code DNVR when you get yourself a subscription to Ivaka TV. You missed out on the Nuggets and Avs for years. You might even be missing out on the Rockies right now. If you like CSU Rams, Denver Pioneers, Mammoth Lacrosse, you name it, Rapids, you don't have to miss out on any of that because you can get a package all in one place, and it's Ivaka TV. Head over to ivaka.tv/DNVR. Zero hidden fees or contracts. $25 per month plus the cost of the receiver. But again, use code DNVR on top of that to save $10 off your first 3 months. And you get all of those wonderful teams, all that great coverage. And you also get us. We're streaming right now. So if you're watching us on Ivaka TV.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
That's fantastic. I love that. Now, I know over the weekend, you actually got a chance to catch up with Sam Hilliard to talk about his very interesting draft story or draft stories.
Yeah. So he was drafted a couple of times. He was originally drafted as a pitcher by the Twins. So we were chatting about, you know, what he remembers from both of his draft days, and then how he feels about, you know, how far he's come since, you know, he was, you know, he was just a kid back then, basically. So I had a really great conversation with him. So yeah, here is going to play that clip for us. Let's roll it.
I was at lunch with my friends, and then I got a call from the scout who drafted me, and he pretty much told me, and it was cool because I was actually, you know, I was out of the Midwest at Wichita State. The scout who drafted me, it was his first year, and I was the first guy he ever drafted. His name's Brett Baldwin, and he actually came to my house with the paperwork and a Rockies hat. That's a cool memory for me. You know, I never would have thought I'd be where I am today back then. If you would have told me I'd be a big leaguer, I probably wouldn't believe you. You know, I got drafted as a pitcher the year before that, and hitting was still pretty new to me, but I knew I was athletic enough to see if I could make it happen. But it's just been a crazy journey, and to the moment I got that phone call, I was getting drafted by the Rockies as an outfielder. I had no idea if I was going to go as a pitcher or a position player. So it was a pleasant surprise, and I think, you know, to this day, if I got drafted as a pitcher, I'd probably be out of the game right now because, you know, I just wasn't cutting it. So I'm super thankful everything worked out the way that it did.
That's such a good story. I went to a small college, Crowder College at that point. And so, yeah, the Twins come knocking and say, hey, we'll give you an opportunity in the 31st round. That round doesn't even exist anymore. Like, at that point, really, once you hit the 30th round, I mean, even before that, I'm not exactly sure where that line is, maybe around 25. But if you go back and look at so many of Rocky's drafts and other teams' drafts, once you even hit 34, now you're just picking, like, grandchildren of your favorite player when you were, you know, your grandfather's favorite player, or like, oh, all right, we're going to draft the owner's son, and like, all this other stuff, like, it doesn't matter. Or guys, or Kumar Rocker. Kumar Rocker was a guy who was taken, I don't know, 35th round by the Rockies, but he was going to Vanderbilt and had zero intention of playing for the Rockies. He might not have even picked up the phone, for all I know, when the Rockies called, because it's like, I'm going to Vanderbilt, and you can't even give me any money now because of where you selected me. That was Sam's situation. And yeah, he bet on himself and said, I want to go to Wichita State and see if I can hit. And he bet on himself, and he was absolutely right. He went from 1 year 31st round as a pitcher to the next year 15th round as an outfielder. So that's such a cool story.
I love that story. Patrick, do you think maybe you or I might have been drafted and don't even know it?
Probably not. Because I have a spreadsheet every draft pick, and I do, you know, do a control F to try to find my name. So I don't think that's possible. I topped out at a junior college, and so that was that. I never got drafted, never got sniffed. Technically got scouted, but that's about it.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that, Patrick.
When I say technically, that means there was a coach there to scout someone else, and I played really well that day. Mm. And I only realized it like years later. I'm like, oh wait, that was that same coach. Oh crap. Like maybe I really would have made this junior college team pretty well, but it was just time to focus on the studies. It wasn't going to end up anywhere. So I said, I'll shift away from that. So no regrets on that.
No regrets. You got to put in a great pitching performance today, which we'll get into at some point.
We will. Look, I threw a lot of pitches. I'm ready to go tomorrow on back-to-back days if need be. And
Wow.
I phrase it like that because Jake Bird's been that guy for the Rockies, drafted out of UCLA just a few years ago. And in a very short amount of time, he's gained Bud Black's trust. Now, he did give up some runs on Sunday against the Pirates, so there might be a little less trust there. But I don't think I talked about this on Sunday, but before Friday's game, I asked Buddy about that. Like, pretty quickly he has. And, you know, Buddy did not kind of, you know, shoo it away. Like, well, maybe not. It was like, yeah, you know what? Straight up, this guy, I like his makeup. I like what he's able to do. And although he couldn't really recall another Rockies pitcher that gained his trust so very quickly, he did say, well, you know, back in 2002, Francisco Rodriguez was that guy, you know, for an Angels team that ended up winning the World Series that year, where, you know, was down in the minors and then immediately he comes up, probably could have closed games for that team. As it were, he was, I think he was setting up Houston Street. I think he was that guy that might've been closing out. That's not right. No, he was on the A's. I'm drawing a blank on who the Angels closer was in 2002, but nevertheless, rookie immediately, that was a dude that could be trusted by the big league staff. And Jake Bird's been that guy. So I'm really curious to see, or hear what he had to say about his draft story.
All right. My draft day was just a relief because it was my senior year after a junior year where I thought I would get drafted and didn't. So I just tried not to think about it as much as possible. It was just talking with some friends, and all of a sudden my phone started getting blown up. So it was just a big sigh of relief, and a few days later I got to fly out and play baseball. It's been an interesting journey. It's been a ton of fun, and it's been highs and lows. It's great to be here after all that, and it's what you dream about as a kid.
I love that the reoccurring theme is the uncertainty, the stress, the need to just kind of check out from the draft and do something else, and then you'll find out when you find out. But yeah, a lot of these guys, I guess the first thing they mentioned is stress. I didn't realize how stressed out they all are on draft day.
Yeah, it's their dream, right? That's what they want to do with their life. And they don't even know if they can get over this first hurdle. I mean, now we look, the reason we're playing audio from Jake Bird and Sam Hilliard and on yesterday's show with Brendan Rodgers, it's because they are already major leaguers. And so their that part of the story is done, is complete. Like, they've lived that dream, and now they're going to have new dreams to go forward and whatnot. But that dream is just unknown. And it's a series of smaller dreams. It's a series of naps, dare I say. And you know what? That first big nap is getting drafted, and you don't know. And so when you hear your name, even if it is late, like, none of those guys say, well, thought I was going to be 11th round guy, ended up being the 15th round guy. They don't necessarily talk about that. They might have it in the back of their head, right? Or they might, if they are a high-end guy, like Brendan Rodgers, for all we know, when he plays Atlanta and Houston, he's going, both of you two teams had an opportunity to draft me first or second overall, and you didn't, so now I'm going to shove it down your throat. He could do that. He could think that, but it's not enough to say it or to put it out there into the world. It's just, look, I bottom line is, I got that opportunity. It doesn't matter where. I didn't know if I had the goods. I think I did. That's why I kept playing. That's why I kept putting myself forward, putting myself out there. But you never know if it's going to happen until you finally hear your name. And then there's a little bit of sweet relief followed by, okay, now I got to do it to another level.
Here comes the real work.
Yeah.
It's funny because watching some of the draft coverage on MLB Network, I swear I heard a couple of kids, I mean, they're young men, but I swear I heard a couple of them say, like, oh, those teams that didn't draft me just now, you guys are going to regret it. Like, that is a very intense take, but congratulations.
Yeah, it's definitely not the same with baseball as it is with a lot of other sports. Because, again, you're immediately going, and it might be like week one, this team passed over me. And maybe they were making certain overtures to me that they were going to take me, and they didn't. So now it's a little bit more personal. So you're going to do that. But man, it's the MLB draft. Anything can happen. It seemed like that was the case this year, because it got really wacky with Kumar Rocker going third. Texas, of course, didn't have picks until like 109, something like that, you know, because they had signed Corey Seager and Marcus Semien, and then they swung a deal for the aforementioned Brock Porter, a guy that we kind of all had assumed was going to high school since he hadn't been taken on day one. So probably saved a little bit of money with Kumar Rocker. They still end up getting Brock Brock Porter. So Texas, despite not having a lot of high round picks, ended up doing a really good job by being creative, because that's what it's about. It's being creative, also finding value where other teams may not necessarily find that value. So we're just going to have to wait and see what kind of value the Rockies actually got. But if you're looking at the upside, there's a lot to still be really hopeful for. There's a lot to really look at and say, okay, these guys could be something. And so many of the other prospect pundits out there say, this guy, this swing in Coors Field, oh boy. And I like that. I always like that comp, so to speak.
Yeah, this is an exciting time for us.
Oh, it is. And it was a very exciting time down at City Park. We had a cool event. Look, it's not as cool as taking great care of your teeth. Now, and I say that because with Green Mountain Dental Group, they're only 15 minutes from downtown Denver, so they're pretty close to City Park, and that's the place that you want to go if you need your teeth to be pearly white. You got to clean them up, or look, if you've got a root canal situation, maybe your molars need to be not molars, your impacted molars. Is that what Allie had? Allie and Lindsay.
Wisdom teeth, which they are molars. They are molars. But they're molars.
They're utility teeth. They can be both molars and just a nuisance. And look, they were for a couple of our folks here in the company. And Green Mountain Dental Group took amazing care of them. This was before we were even doing all these kind of ad reads. It was just, this is the place to go if you're in the Denver metro area. And they did an amazing job checking in on both of them. And they're going to do the exact same thing for you. In fact, if you schedule a cleaning, x-ray, and exam with them, you're going to receive a free Sonicare toothbrush from Green Mountain Dental Group, as I said, located just 15 minutes from downtown Denver and located right in your cupboard, in your cabinets. If you want Athletic Greens, it's what's in my cabinet. That's what I've got. One scoop each and every morning, and I get 75 high-quality vitamins, whole food source, superfoods, probiotics, minerals, adaptogens. It's what helped me throw batting practice, home run derby practice today, all throughout 200 pitches. My arm is still on because my body felt right first thing with that one scoop. It put me in a positive gut health type of way. Out there on the field, I'm sweating, and yet Athletic Greens helped stabilize me. They want to stabilize you with a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/ROC. That's the first three letters of Rockies. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/ROC to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance.
Yeah, you really set yourself up for success today.
I think so. Yeah. I think I did. I may not have won the Derby. I did bat last. It felt very, a little anticlimactic because I wasn't able to get the job done. I think the bat we were using what had been demolished, and all the wiffle balls had all the whiff taken out of them. Because everyone else was smashing home runs. You were doing it. Marissa was doing it. 7'1" Adam Mares was doing it. I mean, we had our very own Aaron Judge down at City Park. And yeah. I'm really excited to see all the content, just kind of relive it. It was just a lot of fun hanging out, doing something athletic, like moving our body. Yeah. That's the thing. I like talking and BSing and, you know, having some Breck brews, doing that. But this was just like, hey, let's just kind of be kids and let's have some fun. And we all did that. And that, it was just a blast.
Yeah, you were so in your element. But yeah, it's so much fun to, you know, we watch guys play baseball all day, every day. So it's kind of nice to get out there and, you know, take some swings ourselves. And I'm not going to lie, I was mashing today. I'm pretty happy with my performance.
It was very good. It was strange, but maybe par for the course. You and I were the only left-handed hitters in the whole
group.
Yeah,
super strange.
That was wild. But you weren't the only left-hander because Rudo is left-handed. That was interesting to learn.
But he does not swing lefty.
No.
Right? Yeah, so he does not swing lefty, but he has a lefty glove. So yeah, we had some variety.
We did. Yeah, it was great. It's out there on social media, but the winner may surprise you. We had about 4 or 5 people hit 8 or more home runs. I was not one of them. I think I had 6. That was it. But there was a
still
ton
really
of
good.
No, I'm proubd of my performance, no doubt. But I'm still, it's one of those things where, hey, I played really well, but this person was just better. So I can't feel bad about that, right? Like if I had hit 2, I'd been like, that's unacceptable. But
yeah.
I hit 6, so I felt pretty good.
So Brendan Vogt won the Derby. He won our Derby, and he was not wearing shoes.
Legit. Which should be an immediate DQ, but because I was the one throwing the Derby to him, I'm going to take that as a dub. Like maybe, you know, I might get some spill off money from the check he won. I'm not sure. No one had a big, gigantic, oversized check, but maybe we should have had that.
You know what? These are just ideas for next year for sure. But maybe I will write Brendan Vogt a check so he can buy another pair of sneakers.
Yeah, that makes sense. There was a couple of people who cut some checks in Los Angeles over the weekend in the celebrity softball game. Susie, I don't know if you actually saw a list of all the people that were at the softball game, but if you saw an image, let's pull one of those up. Let's pull one of the teams up now.
Okay.
I'm going to put you on the spot. How many of these people could you recognize? I think I was like 3 on each team, maybe.
This is a surprise to me. I was not expecting this segment. So yeah, show me. Let's see some celebs.
Yeah, we had the team, and we had the uniforms yesterday popped up. Right, they were white on one side. They were yellow on the other. They looked really cool. I mean, Bad Bunny was one that I was able to recognize right off the bat. I mean, he's a global superstar.
Oh yeah. Oh my gosh. People were so excited to see him at that softball game too. So good for him too.
Yeah. Yeah. He was a WWE champ. He was the 24/7 champion. So there were actually 2 wrestlers that were at the celebrity softball, The Miz, who I know,
I mean, I know the name.
Yeah. You couldn't pick him out in a lineup. He doesn't really look much of a wrestler. Like he's just a built guy. Okay. He's not like the gigantic, like 6'4", kind of like, oh yeah, you look like a wrestler. But when you hear him talk, he very much sounds like a wrestler.
Okay. Note taken.
He's got that thing. There were a couple cool highlights from it. The only one maybe really worth talking about, because it's celebrity softball. It's whatever. It's not quite the same as Rock and Jock softball. If you remember that back in the day on MTV, that got to be a big deal. And have you ever heard of that?
No, I've never heard of this. Yeah.
I think Yahir has, because Yahir, like, he's hip to all of those things that from like the 90s, even though he was barely even alive for some of them.
I wasn't watching MTV in the 90s. I was too young.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll go with that bit. So
No, I'm saying like I wasn't watching like MTV before I was 10 years old, like that's not a bit. Like
that's true.
Just like I was watching Nickelodeon, I was watching Disney Channel. Like I wasn't watching MTV.
That's true. No, that's fair.
Yeah.
Do you remember the basketball? They were doing basketball for a while. That I think went on a little bit longer. Really? I'm surprised
you
didn't
remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
Oh, strange. But yeah, they did softball. Mm-hmm. That wasn't as popular, but the basketball was the good stuff, right? You hear?
Yeah.
Real quick. How many of the celebrities, be like percentage wise, how many of them do you know from the game?
How many do I know?
25 tops.
Yeah. How much?
25% tops.
I know around 70% of them.
No. I know about 80% of them. But if I'm just like looking at them and how many can I recognize off the jump? Like Desus and Mero, I don't necessarily know what they look like, but I know who they are. And then when I see their name under, I go, okay, I know these guys. I've consumed some of their content, but I don't know a ton of them. I actually did recognize JoJo Siwa. Don't know why, but look,
she has a very specific look. So it's kind of hard to not recognize her.
Bryan Cranston was there. You know, there were some folks, but Hunter Pence was there and he got booed by the Dodger fans. He proceeded to homer on the first pitch. The pitcher like threw behind him. Oh, it was Andre Ethier, which was fun, right? A Dodger versus a Giant. So he threw behind him. And then the next pitch, he not only hit over the softball fence, but it hit off the wall of Dodger Stadium itself. So he almost straight up hit a softball home run. And as he's going around the bases, he opens up his jersey and boom, you got the San Francisco Giants logo right there on his shirt. It was nice. He did a good job of being the villain in that moment. And sometimes you got to embrace that.
Someone needed to. So someone needed to be the villain. It might as well be Hunter Pence.
That's it. Someone must be. All right. I got to be a villain to let you know that, Susie, your pick's wrong in the Home Run Derby. I don't think it's going to happen. But I want to know who you picked. I think the first round, half of our picks are the same.
Mm-hmm.
But then once we get to the finals, that's where it gets wild. Take us through your bracket, Susie.
All right. So first off, Albert Pujols versus Kyle Schwarber. I'm going with Kyle Schwarber in that matchup. No offense to Albert Pujols, but I'm like, I think Schwarby's got it. I think he's going to take the whole thing this year. But the matchup between Juan Soto and Jose Ramirez, I'm going with Juan Soto. He is on fire this season. Same with Julio Rodriguez. So I'm taking him over Corey Seager for sure. And then this was a tough one for me. I do have a lot of faith in Ronald Acuna Jr., but I think Pete Alonso, since he just has the formula down, I think he is going to make it to that next round. Watching MLB Network, though, Charlie Freeman, Freddie Freeman's son, picked Ronald to win the whole thing. He was just like, Ronald. It was adorable. It was so cute. He's my favorite celebrity. I can't wait to see him in the softball game. So yeah, that's what I'm going with. I think it's going to be Kyle Schwarber and Pete Alonso in that last round. And I think Kyle Schwarber is going to dethrone the polar bear.
Wow. I also have a dethroning here. Now, Alonso's the favorite in this. The lines have been a little bit more favorable at the time of this recording. Plus 210 for Alonso. Schwarber has stayed the same at plus 330. Next after that, we've got Juan Soto at plus 450. Those odds have gotten better. Like, people are really starting to wake up a little bit, I think, on Juan Soto. Ronald Acuna Jr. is at plus 650. Then you got J-Rod, Corey Seager, Jose Ramirez, Albert Pujols as the long shot. But I think Corey Seager has a chance to surprise. He's like the dark horse. If you want long odds right now, he's plus 1300 because a couple of reasons. One, he knows Dodger Stadium. That's his ballpark. He should
have
the fans behind him, right? Mm-hmm. There's not a true Dodger there. He'll get respect from Pujols will get respect from the Dodgers fans, but ultimately, Seager is that guy. One of the interesting elements to this is center field, the layout of Dodger Stadium. In center field, it's a little more shallower. A lot more balls go out center field. We remember that with Chris Bryant. I think that was his first home run. You looked and you said, okay, he homered to center, but it wouldn't have been a homer everywhere else. Corey Seager goes yard to center field a lot. So as much as I want to pick J-Rod to win that first round matchup, I'm going to go with Corey Seager. I also have Pete Alonso there. Alonso will take down Seager. But again, I think Seager could be the sleeper. I also have Schwarber and Juan Soto winning their first round matchup. But I do have Juan Soto taking down Schwarber and then taking down the polar bear, Pete Alonso. I can't believe I'm saying it because I swore I wouldn't do that after his performance last year. But again, maybe I'm too analytics heavy on my analysis of this. But Juan Soto, of all of the guys in this, he hits more homers to center field than anyone else. 42.1%. He goes straight away. So I think that's going to be something that allows him to eat a couple extra balls that go over the fence and go yard. Now, Acuna Jr. is interesting because, as you said, Susie, that's a really good matchup there. I feel like that's similar to the Otani Soto matchup from last year, where that could really sap Alonso of some power, which then opens the door for Seager to win in the next round. But Acuna, he has the longest average home run distance of any player in the major league. So those are even some of the odds on DraftKings Sportsbook, like who's going to hit the ball the furthest. Acuna Jr., for a guy who's probably the smallest. You could say Jose Ramirez might be a little smaller, but he's a stout man. So I wouldn't necessarily call him small in that capacity. And I like Jose Ramirez. Going into this, I was thinking maybe I'm going to say something nice about everyone so then we can cut these clips out. And you go, look at what Patrick said about Albert Pujols. Don't sleep on him, man. He knows how to swing and get the most out, conserve his energy. See how I'm doing that. I like Jose Ramirez, but he just got a bad matchup on Juan Soto. So we both like Alonso to make it.
Yeah.
But in that upper region of the bracket, you got Schwarber. I've got Mr. Juan Soto, the $440+ million man.
Yeah. Again, that's a big thing that happened over the weekend. But yeah, you brought up some good points about Corey Seager and Juan Soto. We'll see how this goes. Are we putting any money on this? Are we putting any liquid death cans on this?
We could. I've saved mine up. I haven't gone through my stock just yet, or my stash. But I have a couple units on it over there on DraftKings Sportsbook. They've got all kinds of really cool things. Like you can just do total player home runs, like how many they'll hit. So like if you think they're going to win a couple rounds, you can take the over or under. So like so Albert Pujols is at 18.5, right? Because if it's 18 on the nose, then you break and no one wins. That's not fun. So it's 18 and a half. But Corey Seager is at 28.5. Does that mean he's like destined to win the first round? I don't know. Schwarber's at 38.5. Alonso 38.5. Acuna only 22.5. So sort of feel like DraftKings Sportsbook might be tipping their hand and saying that Schwarber, Alonso, Soto, and Seager are going to be those guys. You can do longest home run by distance. Is it going to be over 493.5 feet? Is it going to be shorter than that? Which player is actually going to do it? And again, Ronald Acuna Jr. is only +200. So that's like pretty strong odds that little man, little Ronnie Jr., he is going to hit it. By the way, is that what Charlie calls him? Does Charlie Freeman, Freddie Freeman's son, call him Ronnie? Or does he call him Ronald?
No, he just said Ronald. They asked him who he thought was going to win the home run derby. He just goes, Ronald. It was so cute.
Wow. There's not very many children in the world who say the name Ronald. Just because Ronald is a name that doesn't exist. I imagine if I'm not gonna go down that path when it comes to McDonald's, because that's the only other Ronald I think that kids would have any idea who the heck it is.
Too. That's what I was thinking too. But yeah, it was super cute. Love seeing Charlie Freeman show up places.
I would put a lot of money on just the NL winning, because that's another thing. You could bet on just NL over AL. So in the NL, you got Alonso, Soto, and Schwarber. So, I mean, Seager's going to have to do all the heavy lifting for the American League. So again, that's another long shot on that. So, cause most of the guys are just in the NL. So you have a better opportunity. You have total home runs from the AL players, total home runs from the NL players. Are there going to be any swing offs? I say yes. Ooh. Do you think I feel like every year there's at least one swing off, right? I would say yes.
Yeah. As is customary.
So the over-under is a half. Over-under is a half. So basically, is it going to happen? I would take.
Yes or no?
Would say yes. Mm. That's +105. So that's kind of the long shot. It's not very long, but that one you're gonna make a couple extra bucks on that one +105. There'll be a swing off.
Patrick, who do you think in this derby is most likely to do the home run derby barefoot?
Wow, polar bear. I mean. He seems like a flat-footed guy, where whether he's wearing cleats or other, like I got a really high arch, so I don't think, you know, hitting barefoot would really benefit me at all. I actually have like an insert in my shoe to make sure, you know, for my running and all that stuff.
Oh,
so
Patrick.
For me, I couldn't do it barefoot, but I think polar bear could. I mean, he's a polar bear. Maybe Schwarber.
Yeah, I could see that too. I could see that for sure.
Yeah, and they even have highest exit velocity, which is, you know what? Hey, it's 2022. You should be able to vote on something like that. They're all over 100 miles an hour, of course. Pete Alonso's pretty up there, 112 and a half. He's the highest, along with Juan Soto. And Julio Rodriguez is at 112.5.
That's J-Rod, my future rookie of the year.
That was your pick. That was good. Very astute. That's good. I think Charlie Montoya was my manager of the year. We'll have to see if we can do that this week, kind of recap our
picks through.
Both our managers of the year in the AL, Gonzo.
All of my manager of the year predictions were fired already very early in the season. Very humbling for me. So I'm talking about my little J-Rod rookie of the year. It's gonna happen.
I hope that your picks don't extend all the way down to like the International League, because I think you had Chris DiNorfia as the manager of the year for the Yard Goats. And if this is an ongoing trend, I mean, look out for Chris, because Goats are playing really well. So
they are.
Not gonna happen. Don't worry. Pump the brakes on that. But
stop
we'll
spreading
be back
rumors,
tomorrow.
Patrick.
I can't not. We'll be back tomorrow, nice and early, to recap the Home Run Derby, as well as, you know, preview the All-Star game a little bit. We got more draft audio from some exciting Rockies players who share their experience. And we also, I'm going to be quizzing you here, Susie. We talk about, you know, we've seen some of these images of Gabriel Hughes, Jackson Cox, who's the lone high schooler that the Rockies have taken so far in their 12 picks. But what do these guys look like at 18 years old? Right. We know what Jackson Cox looks like because he was taken out of high school. But what about these guys as they're coming out of high school? So we're going to show you some photos of these youngsters back when they were 18 years old.
I'm going to be quizzed.
And let's see if you can figure out who they are. Some of them look dead on, and other ones, they have just not grown into themselves yet.
I am nervous because usually I just prefer to be the one who's doing the quizzing because I like to have all the power in the situation. So this is, I'm nervous, but I'm excited.
I think you're going to do good. I think you'll do very well in this, because part of your job is you're looking at these guys up close and personal. So you've got that right in repertoire. Like, I think you would do really well if you heard audio and I didn't tell you who it was. I think you could pick it up, but right. Cause you hear it. You know, or you can narrow it down to two or three guys, because you're like, okay, I understand the vibe over here. I know who's saying that. So I think you're going to do much better than I think you realize. I've got confidence.
We'll see. Well, I'm excited to find out, but that's for tomorrow.
That is. Yeah, we'll be kicking all kinds of really good content out on Twitter at @DNVR_Rockies. I am at Patrick D. Lyons on Twitter.
I am at The Susie Hunter on all platforms.
After 2 days of draft, our very own Home Run Derby, and our Home Run Derby preview, we've got a lot of momentum, but you know what they say about momentum. It is only as good as your next show. So we'll talk to you then.